Welcome to another episode of Wheel of Horror, the podcast where two best friends spin a wheel once a week. It chooses the horror movie, and they discuss it. Today, we're talking about 2009's Orphan, which was directed by Jaime Collat Serrara. I'm your co-host, Alec.
I'm Eric. Good job on the name.
Oh, man, I'm so bad. So this is your first time, right? First time with The Orphan?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, right up front, I knew the ending. Someone spoiled it to me probably in, like, 2011.
I mean, it's been out for a while. 2009, yeah, this is for... Well, you know, Sleepaway Camp wasn't ruined for you, was it?
No, that one was like, oh, okay, we're doing this. That one was way different than this.
So that's a huge twist at the end. This movie also has a huge twist at the end, which, you know, we shouldn't spoil it right off the bat in case people haven't watched this movie and, again, are listening to this podcast, but whatever. Okay, so you had the ending spoiled for you, but did you still enjoy the rest of it leading up to it, or what were your thoughts?
Like, did I enjoy...
The rest of the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. Yeah, this movie was good. I feel like, yeah, it was a little tainted by having the ending ruined. Mm. And I'm curious, like, would 2009 Eric figure this out? He definitely would be like, something's up. What's up with this chick?
He says it right on the poster. There's something wrong with Esther.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. There is.
Yeah. It's funny. It reminded me of a movie, which I'd love to do someday, called The Good Son. You ever heard of that movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's not, like, exactly the same. But, dude, it's Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood. And Elijah Wood's parents die.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. No, I've never seen that, but I know what movie you're talking about.
It's kind of similar vibes, but, like, obviously it doesn't have a huge twist at the end like this one.
Those are, like, kids still. Like,
they're like 8. Yeah. But, yeah, so yeah, I don't know. You want to give a little rundown of the plot of this one?
Yeah, it sounds like, so there's these parents, this couple, Kate and John I believe, mm-hmm. and they have two kids. One's an older son who's about, like, 10, and the other daughter, who's deaf, is like probably 6, and they tried having a third, and there was a stillborn situation where the third child didn't make it, and Kate is an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic at this point. They're trying to fix their marriage. They decide to adopt a third child and do good in the world and, you know, keep moving forward. And they go to this orphanage. They meet this clearly gifted child named Esther, who's, I believe, 9. And they bring her home, and it seems to be going well. The daughter, the deaf daughter, is really taking a liking to Esther, whereas the boy is like, pay attention to me, Dad. Like, I don't like this extra girl in my house, and doesn't really take to her. Meanwhile, like, it starts to unfold that, you know, she wants the dad, seems like, sexually, and she's going to do whatever it takes to get rid of the rest of the family. And it's creepy, and it's crazy. And we learn that Esther is not 9. She's actually not an orphan either. She was in the psych ward, and she got her way out of not Russia. They made it seem like she's from Russia, but I forgot, Bosnia was it? I forgot what country it was, actually. And she has a rare disease, like a hypothyroid disease, that keeps her looking young, but really she's like 40.
33.
Well, might as well be 40, dude. I'm telling you, asking
fuck
me.
Fuck you! I just turned 30.
Yeah, happy birthday, by the way. And the mom's like, she kills the husband. The mom is trying to save the daughter. The son almost gets killed. I thought she freaking did kill him when he gets the pillow. I was like, holy shit, did she actually take out the son?
We'll get into that, but yes, in the first draft, that was the end of it, and apparently the test screening audience was like, what the fuck? So they changed
That's messed up. Yeah, dude, that was messed up. I was watching that, I was like, oh, snap, that is, you can't be killing kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that he did die in the original version.
Damn. And it pretty much just ends with the mother and the kid's still alive in the hospital, the son, the daughter pretty much being hunted by Esther, and the mom stopping Esther in the water and eventually, like, freaking Mortal Kombat kicking her in the throat and just takes her out. She sinks in the ice, and yeah, we presume she's dead. I mean, if she's not dead, then come on. Yeah. And then now it's just the mother, the deaf daughter, and the son who's recovering in the hospital, which it's sad that the husband's dead at the end of it. That's a downer. It doesn't end like happy family. Like, no, this is not a happy family.
No, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically the plot of the movie. But, dude, I remember I saw this movie at Hoyt's when it came out in, like, 2009. And I remember, like, liking it. I wasn't blown away. But the first thing that stood out to me, which it still stands out to me, is do you see who executively produced this?
Leo DeCap.
Yeah, I know. I was like, why?
Well, it's production company that he owns. He didn't, like... He wasn't heavily involved in this movie, I'm sure.
I've, like, never really seen his name on much, so, like, for that was that stood out to me, that, you know, that. But then also, Vera Farmiga.
We always do that. How do you say her name? Vera Farmiga?
Vera Farmiga. Farmiga. Vera Farmiga. She was just in The Departed with him a couple years earlier, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, oh, I like her. Get her in here. She's too old for me to have sex with, but get her in a movie.
Holy shit, she's in The Departed. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's his therapist.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, there's a little connection there. So anyways, I thought that was cool that Leo directed it. But I do remember seeing this in theaters, liking it.
He didn't direct it. He produced it.
But yeah, so I thought that was cool. But yeah, the movie, it's sad, dude. It's just like, you got a family that is going through a stillbirth, and the wife lost her job. She's an alcoholic. The daughter or son almost fell into the lake because she was drinking and not paying attention. Like...
Which would make you want to drink more because you're such a bad person.
So she got sober, and her marriage isn't going well. Her husband cheated on her.
The husband never forgives her for that lake thing. Like, right. Is always holding that over her head. But, like, she's trying to be sober. There's a scene, too, where she goes out, buys the two bottles of wine, pours herself a glass, mm-hmm. is sitting there with it, and says no. And, like... That makes you really like this character. Like, no, she's not weak. She's trying really hard.
Oh, yeah. I think the characters in this, especially her, there's so much depth to her. Like, reading this script, I bet she's like, oh, my God, there's a lot of layers to who this character is, you mm-hmm. know? And she's trying to do the right thing. She's trying to adopt somebody that, like, you know, she's like, I lost a kid. There's parents that can't take care of kids. I want to help this kid. And it totally backfires on her. You know, they get the worst person. Ugh, yeah.
Just bad luck on bad luck on bad luck.
Yeah, so it's a sad movie right from the start. You're like, her daughter's deaf. It's just like everything. There's something, everything. So they're trying to do something good, trying to, like, you know, not be distracted by this anymore. And they get Esther. They mm-hmm. go to this orphanage or whatever, and they find this girl who's painting, and she's charismatic, and she's cute, and she's just, like, perfect. And they're immediately in love with her, and they adopt her from, like, a nun. So the nun, who's great. I love whatever actress that was. But, yeah, so she was a little, like, hesitant because she's like, yeah, she doesn't really get along with other girls or whatever. She's got these ribbons on her neck that, like, we don't talk about or touch. Just, like, weird things, but they overlook it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big, like, something's up with those ribbons, right? You get that when watching. I mean, we watched enough horror movies and stuff. Like, okay, something's off. The nun, when she's painting and the family's seeing her, you don't really get that, like, oh boy, something's wrong with that girl. Mm-mm. Like, but she is hesitant. You can see the nun, and she did, I forgot the actress's name too, but she did a good job of portraying something that's like, something's off, but I have to let this continue. Like, you get that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really, yeah, that actress did a great job of making you feel like there's a reason she's uneasy, but she mm-hmm. can't pinpoint it herself, you know? So that was really cool, the very nuanced performance. And then, yeah, so they get home. Everything seems pretty normal. The girl's like, oh, my God, you have a piano? And, like, I can paint and blah, blah, blah. And she's having a great time, really takes to the sister. I don't know, though. I feel like there should have been conversation with the other kids being like, do you want another sister, brother? I feel like the son would have been like, fuck that. Like, you know, but.
Yeah, this isn't a dog you get from the pound, take a couple Instagram pictures of, and then take back. Like, this is not that case. This is a human being you're bringing into your house. This is someone that's going to be with you the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. So there should have been a conversation with the kids, I feel like.
I mean, or at least, like, let's solidify our marriage a little more before we can. Continue this, right? Like, it seemed like things were on the up a little bit, but it wasn't like 100% better.
I mean, dude, you probably shouldn't be talking about adopting a child in your first year of sobriety. I don't know.
You're right. Can I ask you, have you ever, like, gotten to a point, and we can cut this out completely, but did you ever, like, pour yourself something and, like, pour it out?
Mm-mm.
Like she did?
No, I haven't. No. I'd be honest, 100% honest. No, I've never done that. Dude, like, knowing how tempting that must be that she went through all that. Like, dude, you know, I can relate to her because that one scene where she goes into the liquor store and she doesn't want to be seen, so she just throws like $50 on the counter for two bottles of wine. She's like, you can just keep it just to get out of there, dude. Like,
oof.
I've never done that, but I can understand what she's going through right there. So that was really well written, really well acted. I've never, you know, gotten a bottle of anything and poured it at home or whatever, but like, that's so close to lighting the fuse, and she didn't do it. Granted, she should have thrown the other bottle away. I have had, like, a really bad night when I was drinking where I woke up the next morning and poured, like, all of my alcohol out. Like, I've had those days, but but for her, she should have got rid of both bottles. It just leaves unnecessary evidence and questioning, and nobody's going to believe her. So it's just like, you should have just got rid of both of them. Or immediately told her husband, being like, this is what I did last night.
Well, it was a bad, like, first of all, like, other things happened, and then they, like, Esther found the bottle, obviously. Of course she found the bottle, because she obviously didn't keep it out. She probably hid it, but, yeah, I mean, that's something you got to confront and tell your husband, like, hey, by the way, like, I almost got there, but I stopped myself.
Yeah.
She should have said something.
If she was honest right from the start, it wouldn't be weird, but the fact that they found it and she has to explain after the fact, but also, like, the therapist, like, hey, this is supposed to be judgment-free. What are you doing? You're, like, totally teaming up on me here and making me seem like... So, I don't know.
That therapist was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. She was totally not helping the situation.
Yeah, so they're seeing a therapist, they're trying to make everything work, and it's a real struggle. She's unemployed, she's trying to focus on Esther, but her and Esther are not connecting at all. Esther is super perceptive about everything that's going on and is actively trying to create a wedge between their relationship, between the kids, you know, everything like that. So, I don't know, a few times I did want the daughter to be like, why can't you talk to your parents? Like, say something.
I think the point too, I'm also thinking, like, if I put myself in this, I don't think I'd ever put myself in a situation where I had, also adopting kids is like insanely expensive, and the process is pretty, it's not just like, oh, we'll get the paperwork in 2 weeks and yeah, you got her. Like, it's pretty grueling from what I've heard. I think the point where I'm like, okay, you're going back, like, would be when she's playing like Vivaldi on the piano and like just going ham. I'd be like, all right, nope.
You're a prodigy. Like, you're like an actual prodigy.
No, you lied to me. You had me teach you lessons and you pretended to be bad. Nope. Going back. I don't trust you. Nope. Yeah. Alex, sorry. Going back to the pound. Get your Instagram photos. Oh, and back to the pound.
Get your Instagram. It's like before Instagram. But yeah, no, it's... Yeah, there's a lot of red flags that they kind of overlook. There's a lot riding on the fact that the kids don't say anything, because they could easily just be like, she's fucking crazy. And that could have been the moment they're like, just get out of here. You know, but
yeah. They don't, because they think like, no, this woman will kill our parents. Like, if we say anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot riding on the kids being quiet, you know, because if they did just open up and be like, no, she's doing this, and they could be like, what's going on? And like, there could have been a moment, but you know, because I don't think Esther, if she's not using manipulation and like, you know, home aloning traps and stuff like that, like, she's not a threat. You know, she gets a gun, then she's a threat. But like, if her and John had a fist fight, I'm going John every time, you know, or if her and Vera Farmiga have gotten a fight, 100% Vera is going to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, she manipulates things, you know, twists things around.
She's been there, done that. Esther's been there, done that. It seems like a few, like, we see her diary of all the different husbands, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in families she's destroyed. So she knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Biggest gripe with this movie, and it's so stupid, but it's so important to me. There's a scene where she finds the diary. She finds Esther's diary, and it says the Sarn Institution. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is in Estonia, okay? Why would it be written in English?
I didn't notice that the Bible was written in English.
Not the words in the Bible.
But the Sarn, yeah.
It says the Sarn Institution. So the book is from the Sarn Institution. Why would that be in English if it's from Estonia and she has that book with her, and the only way that Vera is able to find out where she's from is by seeing, oh, Sarn Institution, and she calls Estonia or whatever. Dude, that would be written in Estonian or whatever language.
That, then you just add an extra like minute to the movie where she has to translate what that thing is in the back. And then, oh,
do that. That pissed me
off. They could have done that. And I agree with you, yeah. But that's like that's just a way to just leapfrog over an extra minute of looking up stuff.
I know, nobody's thinking like that. But for me, it was like, this book is from Estonia. Why is it in English? No. You know? And they have to call a place. They call the place, and the woman that answers the phone doesn't even speak English. So why would the book be written with English? Like, they're like, make sure you stamp this book so they know it's from the CERN Institute, but make sure it's not in the language so nobody knows what the fuck it says. Like, what are we talking? So that pissed me off. Yeah. The other thing about, like, John, dude, I'm sorry, but, like, you gotta believe your wife to some degree. Like, to
he's a bad husband.
You know what is the worst part is, dude, is the only time he snaps is at the end. It's like Vera has been talking about how horrible she is. Like, you need to believe me. Look at what's going on. He's like, I don't want to hear it. And then at the end, she's like coming on to him. Esther's coming on to John, and he's like,
It took him a good like 5 minutes to realize, like, wait, but they made it seem like he's drunk. Right.
Yeah, whatever. He was drunk and he was smoking cigarettes inside, and, you know, his son's in the hospital. Yeah, he's about to snap. And then his daughter comes on, or stepdaughter comes on to him, and he finally is just like, I can't handle this. It's like, why? Your wife's been talking about this for weeks. You didn't listen to her at all.
It's like, wait a minute. This is off. Like, dude, yeah, no shit, it's off, dude.
That scene was...
It's creepy. Ooh, I know.
Cringe. Like, how... She's 12. The actress is 12. And, you know, whatever, Peter Sarsgaard or whatever is probably in his 40s. And she's coming on to him in a very, like... Looks like she's grabbing his dick in one scene. And you're like... How'd they do that?
Yeah.
So that's pretty bad.
That's good. Remember that? There's a show... I never saw it, but I saw it advertised, where it was like this, like the same like disease that Esther has, or situation where she's like older but has like, looks like a kid, like a kid.
Oh my god, I've heard of it.
There's a show about it.
It's a reality show, right?
I'm like, all right, we need to figure out who watched the show and put them on the sex offender list. Like, this is, you don't watch the show, like, to watch the, like, it was so weird that existed.
I know what you're talking, I haven't seen this, I don't even know what it's called, but it's a reality show. The pedophile show on the Learning Channel. No, but it's about like, a girl who's, like, 22, but looks like she's 8, and her boyfriend who's like, I just think she's hot, and he's just, like, a normal guy. And it's like,
yeah, dude, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's weird. I don't know why that's on TV, but anyways. So that's kind of like this movie, but, like, you know, Esther has a hormone deficiency, so she looks like she's a kid. But granted, dude, she puts so much makeup on. You don't think her parents are going to be like, hey, why you got makeup on? Like, you got a lot of makeup on. Like, you can tell when someone's wearing makeup. So,
yeah,
she looks like a crazy, like, smoker gargoyle woman at the end when she finally takes off all of her makeup. But in the beginning, she looks like a little, like, porcelain doll girl.
And the actor was actually a kid.
She's 12.
This wasn't... Right, so she was 12 in this movie. Okay. Yeah,
so that's, they age her up to look like a 33-year-old at the end who's seen some shit, you know? But in the beginning, she looks like a little girl, you know? But, like, I'm like, like, how do your parents not notice?
It's an interesting concept, but, like, that's a gray. You gotta be careful shooting that one. Like, that's weird. It's weird.
Yeah. So, Esther, obviously, she's a 33-year-old woman who is just mentally deranged and has done this at least, like, 6 or 7 times based on the pictures that she saved. So she infiltrates families, pretends she's a kid, tries to get with the father. The father's always like, what? And then, you know, same thing seems to keep happening. They did make a prequel, like, last year.
A year ago. Right? Yeah.
Orphan First Kill. I haven't seen it. It's got the same actress, and it's a prequel. So that's like that American, or Wet Hot American Summer show, or for the first day of camp. Remember that?
So does she look older in this one? Or, like, I mean, she has to.
They used a lot of makeup, and she looks scary, honestly. I saw a trailer, and I was like, she looks like, you remember that System of a Down music video, Ariel? You remember that fucking song? Dude, she looks like the alien from that music video.
We might have to do that one just to know about it. That'd be cool.
I feel like we got to do that in Jeepers Creepers, too, just to, like, round them out. But that, I'm sure, explains the first time that Esther killed and the first family that she kills and all that stuff and how we got to here, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, I guess a bit of the ending, she basically hurts the son. How did she hurt the son? How did he get so hurt?
Pushed out of there's a fire in the clubhouse, and then he, like, falls and, like, really gets hurt, and then she was gonna...
Hold on, sorry. Before we get there, there's so much other stuff we gotta talk about. So there's the nun who comes back to be like...
Dude, violent killing of her.
Yes.
Holy shit.
So the nun, which I would expect anybody would do, they want to do a checkup to make sure that the family's not crazy and make sure everything's going okay. So she comes to visit unexpectedly, and Esther's like, shit, we got to get rid of her, because they're talking about, like, hey, I don't really, like, accidents just keep happening around her. Like, you know, she was at the JFK assassination. I don't know what's going on, but she's a bad person. So then Esther takes the young deaf girl. She's like, we got to get this bad lady or whatever. So after the nun leaves, Esther and the little girl run outside, and they're basically, they use the little girl to, like, flag the car down. But, dude, if the nun didn't swerve out of the way, she would have hit the little girl right then and there. What would that have done? So the little girl's dead. Esther's like, she runs back to the house. And they're like, oh, my God, our daughter's dead. And then the nun's like, I don't know. She was out on the street. And then it's just going to be like, Esther, where were you? Like what would have happened if that? Because it looked like she was about to hit the girl, and then she swerved right at the last second.
Right.
So
yeah, it would have looked bad. I mean, I think she was just hoping that the nun would just... I mean, she could have killed Max, no doubt, but...
Dude, and she's, like, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, not really paying attention, and all of a sudden the little girl's right in the... Like, Esther pushes her in the middle of the street, hoping that the nun hits her with the car. It's like, ah! So the nun doesn't. She crashes, and she gets out. She's like, oh my God, Max, are you okay? And then she takes the hammer. Esther takes a hammer and smashes the nun to death.
Whew. Yeah, violent.
Dude.
Very, very violent.
Yeah, and the little six-year-old girl sees it. Like, she's seeing somebody get murdered with a hammer in front of her. Like, ugh. Anyways. So that was brutal. Another just kind of, like, fuck, is her, the little girl, the bully girl that makes fun of her at school. She's like, you look, like, stupid or whatever. And then she pushes her and breaks her leg. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. My biggest gripe is not the ending, but when, like, Vera from Murder,
yeah,
falls through the, like, the glass atrium or whatever and lands on Esther, and it's just like, it's over. Like, no, it's not. Tie her up at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was so stupid.
That is the most, like, formulaic.
Like, you clearly didn't kill her. Like,
no.
If you survived, she survived.
Yeah.
There is an alternate ending, though, and it's bonkers if you want to check that out at some point. Like, ends with Esther still alive after that scene. She, like, comes down the stairs to the cops, and she's still playing, like, I'm a victim girl kind of thing or something.
Mm, that wouldn't have worked because they survived. The family survived. But, yeah, there's too many people now that know that it's, like, she's, like, that doctor calls her. It's, like, she's a murderer. Like, he knows about her now. Like, everybody knows. So,
what's up? Game's over, girl.
Well, I mean, logically, they made the prequel. It just sucks because the girl who plays Esther was such a good actress that they're like, they can't really do this without her, it feels like.
How do you do a sequel? She just gets out of the ice?
They can't do a sequel. I mean, so the ending is, yeah, they go back to that pond where, you know, the daughter almost drowned when the wife was drunk, and they fight in the water or whatever, and it just keeps going and going and going. And then, of course, Esther says the stupid line, like, mommy, I love you. Like, it's like, come on. And then Vera says the line, I'm not your fucking mommy, and kisses
her.
Yeah,
it was a little corny.
That was,
get off my plane.
Roll your eyes, like, ugh. These one-liners have to stop. Like, trick or treat, motherfucker. Like, it was one of those kind of, like, roll your eyes moments. So, yeah, you see her head just get, like, tsh, like, is like a, yeah, like a fatality in, like, Mortal Kombat. Like, the neck snaps, she falls into the ocean and drifts away like Jack from Titanic into the abyss. And then, yeah, and then if they escape, get to the police, which I love the police just roll up right at the end, like every horror movie ever. And, you know, so it has its problems, but it's cool. It reminds me of, like, we need to talk about Kevin mixed with, like, Chucky, kind of, or, like, Child's Play.
There could be a way to do the sequel where, like you said, the cops are right there. Imagine they ask, like, where is Esther? And they pull her out right then and there and get her and resuscitate her and bring her back. And then there's some kind of way where Esther still is playing the game. I know you said, like, there's no way because, like, the Sarn Institute's involved now. There's this involved now. What if there's a way where they blame Vera for Margaret again and she gets out, and I don't know, it'd be really tough to continue, but
I think what they did was a smarter option. I think they just should have done it sooner, because now the woman who plays, she's a woman now, you know, like, she's like, I think she's like 22, let's see, so
gotta be like in mid-20s,
yeah. Isabel Furman, yeah, she's 26 now, so for her to be playing younger than in this movie, it's pushing it. But if this was like 2012, like, yeah, you could probably still pull it off. But now it's like, yo, she's like pushing 30. Like, it doesn't.
You get that some of that deep fake technology, Harrison Ford de-aging, Indiana Jones stuff. You're fine. They can do it.
I mean, probably, but I don't
just
know.
Just put like 10 grand in the budget to like de-age her. I'm sure there's a way.
I mean, they might have done that. I don't really know much about the prequel, but the other thing is, you didn't say it, Eric.
Well, who's the Pride of Connecticut in this?
The movie.
The movie's the Pride. Is it made based in Connecticut?
You didn't see every license plate?
Stop. I did not.
Dude, it takes place in Hamden, Connecticut.
Hamden?
Yeah.
I drive through there every day.
Dude, literally, if you look at every license plate, it says Connecticut, and then the school is Hamden Elementary School or whatever, where she drops her kids off.
What?
Yeah. You gotta look at it, brah. Dude, that's like my favorite thing is to figure out where movies take place. I always look at license plates. I'm like, where's this movie? Where are we? I want to know. So this one, yeah, takes place in Connecticut. So that's why I was like, dude, it's giving me like serious, we need to talk about Kevin vibes, because that also takes place in Connecticut. I'm like, what the fuck's going on in Connecticut? Why are all these...
There's a lot of shit that goes down in Connecticut. Ed and Lorraine Warren, Connecticut. Like, it's...
Vera Farmiga playing Lorraine Warren.
In Connecticut. Yeah. Yeah. Filmed in Canada, though. That's where you get the tax deductions.
Oh, yeah. I think it was filmed in Montreal. But
You film in Connecticut. Like, oh, boy. Get ready to pay those film taxes.
They should give tax breaks because it's so close, but they're stupid. I don't know. It's so close to New York, like they could really. I think Jersey takes advantage of that, but anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I liked this movie. I wasn't completely blown away by it, but I think it's definitely worth seeing. I mean, we definitely fucking ruined it, so if you haven't seen it, it's kind of...
What 1 out of 10 Keanu's, what would you give it?
Well, we haven't done that in a while.
I know, I just thought I'd do it.
I give this like a 6-8.
Yeah. For 2009, I give it a 7. I give it a 7 Keanu. It's good. It's different. You don't see a lot of these. And if the twist is held from someone watching this, it could really pay off. It's like, oh shit, she's 33. Holy what? Not me. I had the movie totally ruined.
Yeah, I mean, I luckily didn't because I saw it right when it came out. But, dude, like the acting in this was really good. Like, I fully believed Vera Farmiga. Peter Sarsgaard, I thought he was great. The girl that plays Esther was fantastic. The nun was fantastic. Like, everybody was good in this movie.
Casting was great.
Yeah.
I think the acting was really good. The script was good. The cheesy plot was a little... Maybe if they did less, it'd be more powerful.
Yeah,
like, so. Less of the, like, I'm not your mommy, and, like, less of, like, falling through the atrium, and, like, two different kids falling off a clubhouse, and they did a lot in this movie, a lot.
Yeah.
But I like how they had to explain themselves, like, oh, I don't want to go to the dentist. It's like, oh, my God, here we are with the dentist thing again. Like, yeah, we get it. If you go to the dentist, they're going to immediately say, like, yo, you're not freaking 12. These are canine. Like, these are huge, like, wisdom teeth molars that need to come out now. And
well,
for, like,
she's got fake teeth. So
well, yeah, you see the dentures, in that scene. So,
a couple other things really quick. This was actually inspired by a real story. So, in 2007, there's a 34-year-old woman from Estonia. Her name was Barbara Sirkolov.
Connecticut?
No, an orphan who abused her
first... Oh, I thought you meant Estonia, Connecticut.
No.
We have an Estonia here.
Oh,
by Hamden.
You're right. But anyway, so an orphan who abused her first adoptive family and ran away from the police when caught. She was eventually found impersonating Adam, a 13-year-old boy who had gone missing. So that was real, and that happened 2 years before this movie. So that's kind of interesting. Like, so stuff like this does kind of happen sometimes.
It has to happen, yeah. It's like one of those things where, like, if this movie took place in the 70s, maybe it'd be more believable, right?
Yeah, a little bit, because they couldn't use the internet. Like, they wouldn't be able to call Russia or whatever. But, yeah, I want to know how she faked her passport. I want to learn those things.
They made it seem like, oh, it's a foreign document. Like, they don't really count. What? Didn't they make it seem like they could just print them out in an HP printer? Like, it's like, no. Yeah. Like, you gotta get that legit.
I know. Yeah, it makes you. It doesn't make Eastern Europe look too legit.
Yeah, so when she came over, did she have to, like, go through customs? And, like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
I know. That's maybe the first one explains how she got to America and, like, what she did. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to see. It's got your girl Julie Stiles in it.
Julie Stiles? Yo, that's kind of funny. She was in the Omen remake, and I was going to say, this movie kind of reminds me of The Omen.
Yes.
Where
a
child is always there when bad shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Damien was kind of unaware. But
This
I had Omen vibes, but that's kind of funny because the Omen remake Julia Stiles is in too. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But Peter Sarsgaard totally thought he was Bill Skarsgård's brother. Skarsgård, Sarsgaard, learned that. So they're not related.
Nah, it's a tough break. Tough break.
Mm-hmm. And then,
not one of us, buddy. Not one of the Skarsgårds.
No, he's a Sarsgaard, not a Skarsgård.
That's tough. He might have found a pseudonym or something.
And then, dude, Vera from Ur-Gurgra, looking good. Looking good in this.
I was going to say that. I never noticed it before. And I'm like watching this like, she's a good-looking girl. Yeah, she's very pretty.
She's Ukrainian. I stand with Vera, you know?
Oh, my God.
No, yeah, but she is Ukrainian.
The pride of Ukraine. No.
Seriously.
Get out of here, Mila Kunis. Yeah, Vera from Ur-Gurgra.
And then also, you know, I don't know if Leo was thinking about dating the girl that played Esther, but by this point, she's definitely too old.
Oh, my God.
She's 26 now.
Could you imagine? Like TMZ just like it's like Leo produced a movie with her when she was 12, and now she's he can date her for 3 more years until she's 25.
Yeah.
It's like, what is wrong with this world?
I know.
That'd be too much.
I know. I was thinking about, and then Leo goes to the Oscars and everyone's like boo, and he's like climate change.
Yeah, everyone must be like, do not clap for this man anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great actor. We can say that, but in no way should we ever be like this. Yeah, Leo. No, this is wrong at this point. It's true though. He's dating girls pretty close to her age.
Now
that's out of control. That's out of control. Yeah.
So I was thinking about it.
How do you think this, you know, I was thinking watching this, I'm like, oh man, 2009 must have been a bad year for orphans. Like,
yes.
People seeing this movie like, I don't think we should adopt anymore. I know they're talking about it.
The DVD actually has a message being like, hey, this movie is not representative of adoption. Please adopt. And they gave like a website and stuff because they're like, this is not at all. Like, this is a movie. So like, don't not adopt people, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the orphan community. Neither is Nacho Libre either. I hate all the orphans. Remember that line?
I do.
I hate all the orphans in the world. Oh, dude, that's such a funny movie. But I did read just now, as I have Wikipedia, the Esther actress. She does charitable work for Save the Children.
Yeah.
So that's a great representative to have, someone who played a terrible child to save the children.
Well, because the line, apparently, they got a lot of criticism from adoption agencies, was like, it must be hard to love a child who's not your own. Like, it was like that line. And the adoption agency was like, what the fuck? So they, like, everybody was like, hey. And they're like, hey, we're sorry. So they took that line out of the trailer, because it was in the trailer, and then people were freaking out, so they took it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine if this, I mean, obviously, the prequel came out, so they probably had to be a little more careful with that kind of shit, but, like, this movie coming out today, especially with Leo, I mean, I don't know, man. Might not fly as good.
Oh, God. All right, well, we've been going on for a while here. Why don't we wrap this one up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. All right, we got to spin the wheel. You always make me move my phone so it doesn't buzz the whole time.
I mean, I think that's helpful for the listeners.
I agree. Spinning! Fun House!
Oh, nice! All right, Fun House.
I don't know this one.
It's Toby Hooper, who did Poltergeist and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 1 and 2. We got Joe Testa coming for this one, so this will be fun.
Sign me up. You had me at Joe Testa. Oh, you send in the wolf? You had me? Yeah, like...
Yeah, Joe's like our Mr. Wolf or whatever. All right. Well, everybody, thank you very much for listening into our episode on Orphan. If you haven't had a chance, you can listen to last week's episode, The Black Phone, and we will see you all next week with Funhouse.